feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. In our study in 1 Samuel, we have come to a turning point in the nation of Israel. In chapter 8, we see the people of Israel demanding a king. This is not God's plan, because he was their king. But the people are quite insistent. We began this story on our last program and saw that part of Israel's excuse for demanding a king was that Samuel was getting old and his sons were corrupt. When Israel demanded that Samuel anoint a king for them, Samuel did something very wise. Instead of lashing out at them, he sought the Lord. As we now join Pastor John, he is discussing this important point.
Whenever I let off steam and I can, whenever I blow my top and I have, I always regret it. Don't you? When you do? The Bible says that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It never does. So Samuel does something wise here. And it's a great example for me, for you, for us guys here tonight. And that is, he was upset. But instead of lashing out at the people, coming down on the people, expressing his frustration to the people, he just went and he prayed. I've done that before. Maybe you have too. And whenever I have, and whenever I do, I'm always really, really thrilled at the outcome. When I feel myself get kind of uptight, you know, and you feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and you feel frustration begin to kind of churn in your gut. You know the feeling? Any of you know that feeling at all? Maybe, well, a few of us do. It's always wise, and it's always a great thing whenever I choose to do what I know I should do. And that's just slip away, not count to 10, not take time out, but slip away to a quiet spot and just talk it over with the Lord. Go to my knees if I can, or sit there in a chair if that's appropriate or workable, whatever, and just talk to the Lord. And when I come back, I have a whole different perspective and a whole different attitude and a whole different countenance. And it doesn't take long, but it makes all the difference in the world. Now, when I don't do that, when I blow my top or let off steam or give somebody a piece of my mind, I'm discovering that, man, my mind, you know, my memory, I can't afford to give a piece of it away. I need to hang on to every piece that I have that's still left, that's still there. And it's really, people don't want a piece of my mind. I need it, and people don't want it, so just don't do it. That's the thing. And Samuel did a wise thing here, and I think this might be a word from the Lord for somebody here tonight. Cool your jets. Pipe down. Learn to pray. Don't blow your top, but pull away and say, Lord, I'm frustrated here. This isn't working out well. He doesn't understand what I'm saying. I need to talk to you, Lord. Samuel did that. Good thing, Samuel. When they said, give us a king, Samuel, he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Evidently, Samuel felt rejected personally. Now, this is important. Samuel felt as though the people were saying, Samuel, you're old and your kids are bad, and so get out of the way. You're too old to lead us in these days, and your kids are too rotten to do so. Give us a king. And Samuel took it personally. Now listen, he pulls away. Good for him. He doesn't blow his stack like we could do. He prays, and then he hears from God, as you and I will too. And God said, do not take this personally. It's not about you, Samuel. Why is it that I think everything's about me? Why is it that I hear a conversation and always filter it through that lens or put it in that mental? Okay, now, what does this mean as it relates to me? Ann Landers was right when she said, we would not worry so much about what people think about us if we realized how little they do. It's really something. It's really true. We really feel as though, oh, well, you know, he's making a point and he's directing it at me, or she's making a statement and she's really trying to not true. And God was saying, Samuel, you know what? You're upset because you think that they're rejecting you, and guess what? They're not. It's about me, Samuel. It's about me and these people. It is not about you. It's not about you. Do not take it personally. Do not make it an introspective kind of thing where you feel rejected because they're asking for a king. Samuel, it's not about you. I believe that's a word from the Lord for some here too. It's not about you. You know, you're trying to figure out, well, how come and what about? And hey, God would say perhaps to you in this passage today, it's not about you at all. Quit trying to figure out how it relates to you, or why you feel as though they've rejected you, or why you're hurt. Don't go there. It'll bring you nothing but depression. You'll be nothing but blue. God said to Samuel, it is not about you. He thought it was. They call me old. They don't want me anymore. They're rejecting my sons too. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about me, God said to Samuel. They're rejecting me. They don't want me to reign over them anymore, you see. Even though I have brought them out of Egypt, verse 8, but even then they forsook me. They served other gods, and now they're still doing the same thing. They're rebelling against me, verse 9, so hearken to their voice, but tell them solemnly and show them how it's going to be when this king reigns over them. Let them know the repercussion of their decision. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him for a king. He said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. This king, he'll take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, to run before his chariots. He's going to draft your boys to be his soldiers. You sure you want a king? He's going to draft your kids into the army. He'll appoint them to be captains over thousands and fifties, and will send them also to ear his ground and reap his harvest. He'll draft them into his army. He'll use them to tend his crops agriculturally. And he'll take your daughters too, verse 13, and make them confectionaries. That's bakers, you know, that bake up sweet stuff for him, for the king's table, see. And also to be cooks and so forth. And he'll take your fields as well, verse 14. Your vineyards, your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He's going to take the fruit of your labor. He's going to take your fields. He's going to take your kids, your sons, your daughters, your fields. You're going to be paying a big price for this monarchy that you want to establish. Government can be expensive. Do you know that? Do you know in our country, one out of every 14 people works for the government? Did you know you will work personally until May 16th this year from January 1st till May 16th, all of that money goes to taxes in one form or another. May 16th is Tax Freedom Day. So from January 1st to May 16th, every penny you make will go in one form or another to pay taxes. So just don't work till May 16th. I mean, just stay home, you know, kick back. It's amazing. And here's what Samuel's saying. Do you know what you're asking for? You want to be like the nations round about you? It's going to cost you greatly. You're going to be miserable ultimately. Man, he's going to take the tenth of your seed, your vineyards, and give to his officers too, verse 15. Verse 17, he'll also take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. By the way, this number, the tenth, pops up over and again in this section. It's the tithe. A lot of people think that the first concept of tithing was there for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Not true. Historically, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Persians, other ancient empires demanded that their people tithe to their king. That was the common figure of taxation. 10% of all that was brought in by a person in those empires was to be turned over immediately to the king. So if those pagan kings received 10% from those heathen people, how much more should the King of Kings, our God, receive the tithe that we get to bring? So again, Samuel's saying, this is what's going to happen. Not only are you going to be tithing to the Lord like they had been, but now the king is going to demand another tenth, minimally. And it's going to be a burden for you financially. And you shall cry out, verse 18, in that day, because of your king which you have chosen. You're going to cry out to me. But the Lord will not hear you in that day. You've made your decision, you know. You've cast your ballot. There are no recounts. There are no higher courts to appeal to, God would say. You've cast your vote. You've made your decision. Now you need to live with those repercussions. You'll cry out. You'll protest. You'll be upset, but hey, you made your choice. And the people in hearing this still had an opportunity to say, oh man, wow, we've made a mistake in asking for a king. But that's not what they did. They refused to obey the voice of Samuel, verse 19 says. Nay, they said. Actually, well, we will have a king over us. That we may be like all the other nations. We want to be like the other guys. I was in a toy store with Tambo yesterday, or a couple days ago now. And it's interesting because they have all these boxes of discounted Tickle Me Elmos. And even deeper discounted Cabbage Patch Dolls. If you're kind of my age or whatever, you remember there was a time when Cabbage Patch Dolls were, you know, like going for $150 if you could find one. You know, now, hey, they're just stacked up, and they're, what's cool for one Christmas, you know, is almost free the next one. Fads come and go. It's crazy. We want to be like those guys. Well, the Lord says, are you sure? We really want to be like them. And so God said, okay. If that's what you want to be like other nations, fit in with the fads of other countries. We want to be like them, that we may also have a king to judge us, verse 20, and go before us and fight the battles on behalf of us. And Samuel heard, verse 21, all the words of the people. And he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Now, he goes back to the Lord again. I admire this guy, Samuel. I think he's a real huge man in many ways spiritually, one that we can esteem highly, because he has this thing now. He hears what they're saying, and again he goes back to the Lord once more, And he talks to God about the issue. About what the... Not to give God information. God wasn't saying, what'd they say? What would they say? Let me know. What was there? You told them, and then what did they say? God wasn't in need of information from Samuel. What he was desiring was communication with Samuel. Just intimacy. God knows everything. I don't inform the Lord of anything. He knows all things. Then why do we talk things over with him? Because he enjoys the conversation. Like when my kids, when they're growing up, they come to me and share these amazing things that I've known for decades. But I like just to hear them talk, and I enjoy the engaging of conversation. So too our Father in heaven loves to hear us just talk things over with him. And Samuel was a man of prayer. And once more, he goes before the Lord and says, Lord, here's what they're saying. And he puts this in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said, hearken to their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. Okay. God said, go. You're going to have the king. Now, Hosea has something interesting to say about this. I'll read it to you. Or you can turn there if you want to turn there quickly. Hosea chapter 13. Here's the commentary on this story from the Lord as revealed to the prophet Hosea many, many years later. O Israel, verse 9 of Hosea 13, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Israel, you have destroyed yourself in me, not from me, but in me is your help. You will find help in me, Israel. As you draw close to me, as you share your heart with me, as you lean on me, it's me. You're going to find your help in me, but you've destroyed yourself. You've brought about this destruction, Israel, of your nation. Destruction in your families because Israel, you didn't understand it's in me that you would have help. I want to be your strength. You've destroyed yourself tragically, but it's in me where you could have and should have found your help. I would be thy king, verse 10. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? I would be your king. There's no one else in any of your cities that can bring you the help and the victory that I could have and wanted to. But you said, verse 10 goes on to say, give me a king and princes. So I gave thee, verse 11, a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. I gave you what you wanted. In my anger, I gave you a king. You wanted a king, you got a king. And I say that to say this, God can give us what we're asking for in his anger. This is one of the real dangers of this thing that we still are dealing with a lot in this idea of, well, if I just have enough faith and claim this thing, God will give it to me. Careful, because he just might in his anger. He's the king. He sees what's best for me. He knows what's going to make me happy. I think I do. And this is where the radical faith movement, I believe, is in grave error. Because the assumption there is, God, I know that this thing, that person, those possessions, that career, whatever it might be, if I just name it and claim it, Lord, I'm going to get it. And in reality, what you're doing is you're becoming your own king. And you're using God to bring about what you are demanding. And I have discovered, so have you, that it's much wiser to say, Lord, here's the way that I see it. You know, here's my perspective on this issue. Here's my thoughts about this, Lord. But Lord, you see what I don't, and you know what I can't. And so, Lord, I gladly, happily defer to your perfect plan for me. Jesus prayed that way, didn't he? Let this cup pass from me, Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Heard a guy on TV last week. Powerful preacher, prominent preacher there on the religious channel. Declaring, man, you need to speak out and believe that God will give you whatever you have faith for. I understand what he's saying, but I think it's a real dangerous thing that brings people like the people of Israel to their own destruction. We want a king. We're demanding a king. Okay, have a king. Have it your way, Burger. And they didn't relish it. They found themselves in a pickle. It just didn't work out. It was... God says here in Hosea, he says, look, he says, in my anger, I gave it to you. See, here's the thing. God wants me to pray about everything. He doesn't want me, as Samuel shows us rightly, to blow my stack. And he wants me to pull away and pray before I blow my top, before I let off steam. He wants me to pray. And as I do, he'll tell me, he'll remind me, John, it's not the way you think. It's not really what you're thinking it is. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me, God said to him that day. Samuel pulled away to pray. And again, in the same chapter, once more, he pulled away to pray. And yet the people, in contrast to Samuel, weren't pulling away to pray, but they were speaking out and demanding their way. And God says, careful, because here in Hosea, he says, the people demanded a king, and I gave them what they were demanding for in my anger. I was upset about this, because I knew what it would do. I knew the destruction that would come their way when they turned their back on me and wanted a king like the other nations around them, you see. I knew what it would do. God was angry about that because he knew it was a dumb thing that they were demanding. And in this chapter tonight, I think God would remind me and remind us, talk to me. But understand, Johnny, that you don't see what's best. That you don't know. You think you do. But wise will you be, son, the Lord would say to me this evening, if you'll talk things over with me and then leave the results up to me. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Always.
Those are wise words for us. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. We need to be careful about demanding things from God. Remember, he loves us and knows what is best for us, and that is what he will give us. When we come to God with a demanding attitude, we are only messing up his perfect blessings for us. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.